Good evening, everyone. Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Helen and Manny Adler in memory of Helen's father, Menachem ben Avram, Zichrono Livracha, by Marilyn and Dr. Joe Bench, in memory of Joe's father, David Aryeh ben Yosef Akon, Zichrono Livracha, by Fanny and Dove Elephant, in memory of Dove's father, Mordechai ben Rafael, Zichrono Livracha, by Bob Friedbauer, in memory of his mother, Golda Chana Baslev Aryeh, Zichrono Livracha, by Phil Hanfling, in memory of his father, Tzvi ben Mordechai, Zichrono Livracha, by Elisa and Steve Levy, in memory of Elisa's father, Mordechai ben Rafael, Zichrono Livracha, and by Miriam and Alan Greenspan and Chanian, Michael Barinholtz, in memory of their father, Harav Ram David ben Baruch, Zichrono Livracha. May all the neshamos have an aliyah. We are in the 11th parak of the Mesilas Yesharim. In the 11th parak of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Mesilas Yesharim is discussing the Midah of Nikiyos. And he said there are certain areas, there are many areas in which there are temptations that we have, and perhaps areas of gray in halachic observance, when perhaps our Yetzer tries to convince us to go astray, and we're able to justify it and pretend that there's nothing wrong and that we're doing everything properly. But he said two areas where that rears its head in particular are Gezel and Arayos, are matters pertaining to monetary integrity, honesty when it comes to matters of money, the arayos, and matters of modesty and sexual impropriety. And we began last week discussing the midah of gezel and how the Ramchal says that gezel often gets the better of even otherwise decent people. Now I want to focus actually on a passage that we already read last week, but I want to take a slightly different take on that same passage this week. It's, if you're in the Mesilas Yesharim, if you're inside, it's page Nun Zayin in the Feldheim edition, third paragraph, a paragraph that begins with the words V'hineh anachnu ro'im. If you just look around, you observe. Even though most people are not openly thieves, they're not openly going around stealing from others, most people are not just extending their hand into others' property and just sticking it into their own kalim, their own bag, their own box, whatever the case may be. Most people aren't engaged in overt stealing. Nonetheless, and here was the key line that we focused on last week and that I want to focus on again this week, Rubam toamim ta'am geneva b'masam u'matana. He says, Rubam. Again, it's a strong language. A majority of people, not just some people, most people, taste a ta'am of geneva, taste some kind of, something that resembles, some semblance of geneva, of stealing, in their business transactions. B'masha yoru heter la'atzvam lehestaker ish be'afseido shachavero. In instances where people tell themselves that it's really okay to profit at the loss of someone else, but yomru leharviach shani, and they say, oh, making a profit is different, business is different. So I think the pashut pshat and what the Ramchal is saying is what we discussed last week. Sometimes people have a mentality that, as we said, as you'd put it in the English language, as the idiom goes, it's not personal, it's just business. And once you just say it's not personal, it's just business, that gives you carte blanche, that gives you perfect license to engage in whatever kind of reprehensible behavior you would never dream of doing outside of the context of business. Because it's business, so it's all about making a buck, it's all about the bottom line, and we throw the rest of our ethical system out the window. And the Ramchal, of course, points out that from a Torah standpoint, chas v'shalom, would we ever adopt such a mentality? Of course, our moral code, which is the Torah and mitzvos, apply to all areas of our lives, including business. There's no such thing as business being different to the point that we would dismiss our general standards of ethics, morals, and the way we treat others. But I want to point out a potentially different take on this paragraph. I confess at the outset that it's a little bit more of a drush. It's a little bit more of a homiletical take on this paragraph of the Ramchal. But I think it's an important one nonetheless. And that is a focus on the last line of this paragraph, where he says, people will profit, and they'll say, leharviach shani. Now, of course, again, narrowly speaking, that just means business is different, right? It's not personal, it's business. But I think there's another way of taking that, which is leharviach specifically. When it comes to matters of personal gain, things are perceived differently. In other words, sometimes I think people will justify all sorts of behaviors under the justification, whether it be conscious, subconscious, whether it be overt, whether it be honest, whether it be people fooling themselves or people really knowing that it's not the case, but engaging in some kind of external self-justification, that, oh, I'm gaining, but no one is really losing. Who is really losing? It's a victimless crime. And because it's a victimless crime, it's perfectly okay. Leharviach shani, I'm just doing it to gain for myself. I'm not really doing it to hurt anyone else. And the Ramchal says there are many instances where a person will gain lehestaki irish b'afseido shachavero, they will indeed cause loss to somebody else under the justification of leharviach shani. Let me give, I think, several examples that are quite prevalent. I'll give one that I used to deal with all the time when I was in the classroom. And I'll give several others that I think are far more pervasive in society at large, not in a school setting. One is in the context of, let's say, something like cheating. Cheating on exams and things like that. And you'll try to tell kids, and we've spoken about this in the past, about the value of just honesty, integrity. I told you that I never engaged in like threats and things like that. Two of my students are here. They'll tell you, I always said before every exam, I would say, whatever points you're going to gain are not worth your personal integrity. That was it. Again, like maybe I'll catch you, maybe I won't, but whatever you gain is not worth your personal integrity. But I'd have some cases where kids had trouble with that concept. They had trouble with the concept of the value of integrity and honesty under the guise of like, who is really losing here? You know, let's say, not in Gemara class, Rabbi, chas v'shalom, because we would never chas v'shalom cheat on a Torah class. But if it's just a math or a history class, and the teacher is just not so sharp, for whatever reason, for whatever variety of reasons, what is the big deal if we're cheating on our exam? It's a victimless crime. What's the problem? I remember there was one time I was having a conversation just about the value of honesty and integrity with my students. I don't remember if I ever mentioned this story before. I had one student who was really having trouble just, again, not in a malicious way, so having trouble just understanding the concept of why it was a value, of why, like, just honesty for the sake of honesty, for honesty's sake, even if there was no victim, why it was a value. He was having real trouble understanding the concept. Like, why is that a positive thing? And I was just explaining that integrity from a Torah standpoint is objectively valuable. Hashem is called Emes. As the Ramchal highlights that line later in our parak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really just wants us to engage in honesty and faithful transactions and decency. It was very difficult to understand, for this student to understand. I remember that I then related this story to one of my congregants in Einstein, who said to me, you know, I can really relate to where your student is coming from. Not in her personal case, thank God. If you have a doctor that cheats on exams, that's a big problem. But she was saying that one of her parents had come from the former Soviet Union. And she said, in that society, the only way you were able to get by was if you took advantage of any loophole, any kind of opportunity you had to get ahead. You had to. That was the way you got by in that society. And she said, when I was growing up, and there were opportunities to cheat because teachers were not always so sharp and things like that, and I chose not to, that parent would get upset at me, as if I wasn't like trying hard enough, as if I wasn't doing everything I could to actually make my place. The way a parent would get upset at a child who didn't properly study for an exam, her parent would get upset at her for not taking advantage of cheating opportunities that were readily available, because again, that was just the culture that, it's certainly no judgment on the parent, when you grow up in a society like that, that those were the standards. But when you don't have that kind of society, when you have a society that's rooted more in freedom and meritocracy, you don't just go for cheating opportunities because they're available. And it was very difficult to understand. And I think in many instances of these victimless crimes, A, there is a victim, right? In the cheating case, it's an obvious. You have another kid who was honest and didn't cheat, and they got a certain grade, and they're going to be left behind as far as, when it comes to admissions and things like that. Very often there is a victim. But even if there's no victim, the justification that, oh, there's no victim, and therefore it is okay, it doesn't follow from a Torah standpoint. The Torah values honest behavior that accords with standards of integrity, even if in theory there were no victims. And I think that kind of justification of the quote-unquote victimless crime is not limited to teenagers and high school students. I think it's pervasive in certain areas of adult, of our society, of our even our Torah society as well. I'll give you several examples. Number one, I can't tell you how many times, countless times, I've seen really like honest people going on a family trip to the zoo, right? And they tell the youngest child, say that you are 3 years old, right? We've all seen it, right? Say that you're 3 years old. Why? Because the 3 and under rate is cheaper than the 4 and over rate, so you want to save $2 on your zoo admissions, so you say, oh, just say that you're 3, right? Again, like, it's crazy. Like, if you just zoom out, and I think it's just become like a standard cultural thing that's done, but if you zoom out for a second, you're saving yourself $5 to $10, right? At the price of what? At the price of teaching a child that you're dishonest when you get into the admissions of the zoo? Is it really worth the $5 to $10 and the message that you're projecting about honesty and dishonesty and what it means? Again, is there a victim there? It's hard to identify. Is the zoo is the victim? The employees of the zoo? I don't know who the victim is, but is it really worth it? And other examples abound. I remember when I was in high school, that was when streaming first became a thing. When you were able to like go on your computer and without a CD or a floppy disk or anything like that, you were able to just suddenly download songs and music and things like that. And it was a total craze among everyone to start just pirating songs, like just start downloading songs. And I think, like, again, awareness of intellectual property and who the victims might be and things like that, they've grown over time. But in retrospect, the fact that we never stopped to think about, like, is this really in consonance with the Torah's very high standards of decency and integrity was crazy. And again, like, when it comes to, again, a prevalent example also, when it comes to taxes, look, I'm not for paying more than you have to. We're all into, trying to find honest ways to get out of giving our hard-earned money to Uncle Sam. But again, when people engage in dishonest ways of doing so, because, oh, there's no victim, or it's a victimless crime, it's this whole notion of Laharviach Shani could be a very poisonous and toxic mentality that really diverts otherwise moral and decent people. And again, it's a way of playing with our brains that we don't see how really dissonant from the Torah's code our conduct can at times be. I remember, as a counterexample, I remember one time my brother was driving from Jersey to the Heights, and he was driving by himself, and just by routine, because he's so frequently driving with his wife and kids, he pulled up to the thing, said carpool. They said sure, because they don't actually check, and he kept going. And he felt so bad about it. He felt terrible about the fact that he accidentally said carpool. It wasn't malicious. He didn't even do it intentionally. He made sure that the next time that he was there with his wife and kids, he deliberately went through the easy pass lane as a form of tashlumen, beheshaves agezel asher gozal, in order to make up for the discount that he accidentally received for the time that he inadvertently, because he was driving so quickly, said carpool. Was he chayv to do that or not? I don't know. He had a whole pilpa with Rav Schechter. He asked Rav Schechter, was he chayv to do it? But he just felt for himself. That's what he was going to do, because that was the appropriate thing to do. That was, if we aspire to live by the Torah's code of MS, V'yashar, V'tov, and the like, we should aspire to do that even in instances where perhaps there may be no victim. So I think another critical piece that the Ramchal is telling us here is that in all areas of business, even if we're not the people who say business is different and therefore engage in all sorts of nefarious business activity, even if we are decent people, there is, again, that toxin of, oh, the victimless crime, so it's perfectly fine. From a Torah standpoint, if it's a crime, it's a crime. Unless you're dealing with, esei docha lo sa'aseh or something like that, rare instances where the Torah will license it. If it's a crime, it's a crime. And if it's victimless or not, usually it has a victim, even if you can't see them. But even if it is victimless, we need to make sure that we maintain the Torah standards of honesty, integrity, the Torah standards of MS, Yashar, V'tov, in consonance with the Torah's moral code, the Torah's mitzvos, in all areas of our lives, whether there is a victim or whether there's not, in all areas of our business practices, our interpersonal practices, always making sure that we aspire to those high standards that the Torah demands.